California's households are shrinking, even as the state navigates the pressures of the housing crunch. With few options to downsize, older adults simply are not leaving their homes even after their kids have grown up and moved out. To break it all down, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Chris Thornburg, real estate industry analyst and founding partner of Beacon Economics. Chris Thornburg, welcome to KCBS. Good to have you with us today.
Good to be here.
Are you finding that older adults are staying in their homes longer? They're not downsizing?
Well, yes. And to be clear, there's both a long-run trend in this direction, but it's become particularly bad over the last few years. Look, ultimately, when you think about having enough housing stock in the state, it boils down to really two things. A, are we adding enough new housing? And the answer is, as we know, no, we're not. But of course, the second question is, are people able to move depending on life changes, whether your kids have moved out or whether you have you have a new job or something like that? So we're talking about housing market liquidity to allow people to spread among the existing housing stock in a very efficient way. Well, there, too, we have this long run problem. We don't promote liquidity in this state, whether we're talking about capital gains, which make it expensive to change homes. Of course, you have Prop 13, which is only portable in a limited sort of basis. And now on top of everything else, think of all these older folks with no kids in the house who have a 2.75% 30-year fixed rate mortgage that they refinance back in 2020 or 2021. Again, for these folks, it's vastly too expensive to move because their current cost basis is just too low. And that has really added a whole other element of complexity and, if you will, problematic sort of structure to the California housing market.
Well, I mean, ostensibly the idea is, all right, you have a, I don't know, four-bedroom home and the kids grow up, they move out. Well, to save money, you downsize maybe into a townhome or a condo or something like that. But the problem is those smaller units are now more expensive than the place where you're living.
Well, they are more expensive because you're going to have to get another mortgage at a higher interest rate, correct? That's the real issue. It isn't so much, I mean, look, the property values of every property have gone up. That's just a function of demand relative to the limited supply in our supply-constrained state. But when you think about those other type costs, the interest rate costs, your property tax costs, while they're low where you are now, they'll be high where you're going to move to. Ergo, you know, why would someone move to a smaller house that's going to end up being more expensive?
So, I mean, theoretically, you know, let's say the retired couple moves out of their big house, they downsize. That opens up that house for another family to move in.
Right.
So
right.
By the people staying in the big house, there's nowhere for that younger family to go. And maybe they had started their family in a two-bedroom townhome or condo, and they're not leaving there, and there's now no one to move into there.
Well, actually, they are going to move. Where they're going to move is to a four-bedroom house in Texas or Nevada. Because a lot of families with kids are making that choice because there's simply not enough housing stock available here in California. This is exactly why you see the number of school age sort of children in the state falling. This is why school districts across the state are going to see very, very grim futures because they have enormous fixed costs, particularly with pensions, relative to a declining base of clients, if you will, otherwise known as students.
You analyze this stuff at Beacon Economics. I wonder, do people tell you flat out, listen, we would love to stay here. We don't want to go to Nevada or Texas, but we have to.
Yeah. Well, of course, we hear it all the time. And of course, we hear lawmakers acknowledging this. We do hear these conversations about quote unquote affordability. But what's amazing is that while our policymakers will discuss the issue of affordability, they never truly lean into changing the dynamics of new supply, changing the dynamics of housing liquidity. Take, for example, this new trend in the state of course, leveraging mansion taxes on the current housing market. That is to say, if you're selling a relatively high-value piece of property, you're suddenly saddled with very high transfer taxes. Well, yet again, you're reducing liquidity. You're giving that older couple with a 4 or 5 bedroom house one less reason to go ahead and move to someplace smaller. And then we sit around and wonder why our housing market is so messed up.
What kind of housing do we need to build in order to address these problems in the aging population?
Well, look, we need more housing at every level. I always get very frustrated when people say we need to build more affordable housing because new housing isn't affordable, okay? It's just not. It's expensive to build. Ergo, we need more housing, and if you build more housing overall, well, it'll become more affordable, as the case may be. So again, supply, supply, supply. But now go back to what I was saying about this interest rate lock-in. The problem is a lot of folks have these low interest rates. Those interest rates aren't portable. Well, now, of course, what we need to be thinking about is building new entry-level housing. Think townhouses. Think more condos. But of course, in our state, with the way that permits and fees are set up, with this builder remedy liabilities attached to condos, well, we make it really difficult to build entry-level new housing, don't we? But again, we never have these conversations.
Chris, we talk about what kind of housing needs to be built to help alleviate the problem, but then you have the NIMBY problem. People say, hey, I'm all for affordable housing, just not in my backyard.
Right. Yeah, well, that's just it, right? And that's one of the reasons why we see such a muddled take on the housing situation in Sacramento. Because at one level, these folks, I think, acknowledge that we don't have enough housing. We need to make it easier to build. But then, of course, they go back to their district and they're immediately faced with legions of angry people who don't want to see any new housing, particularly high-density housing built in their particular neighborhood. Ergo, they have to pretend to want to fix housing while they're not really trying to fix housing. And we end up in this very muddled sort of place. From my perspective, we live in a democracy. And if the vast majority of Californians really don't want to build any more housing, I think we have to respect that. But that said, what makes me very frustrated is it seems like very often the same people who are complaining about the new housing, who are at that planning committee, at that legislator's, local meeting and complaining about this and saying it has to stop, these people often are the same people who complain that their children can't afford to live down the street from them, that they can't, there's no local restaurants because there's no staff to work in the restaurants. Well, we have to accept the consequences of the policies we promote. And if you don't want to build more housing in California, well, be prepared for an economy that's going to atrophy. Be prepared for an area that's going to look more and more like Luxembourg, which is to say very high value with actually no economic resiliency. And that's how it's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, if it is a democracy and people say no, we don't want new housing. Well, those brake lights you see are heading for Nevada and Texas, right?
Exactly. So choose your consequences. Again, look, Californians are absolutely beside themselves with the idea that we could lose maybe 4 seats in Congress during, of course, this next legislative session, the next census back in 2030. But the only way of dealing with that is not to sit around and complain, but of course, to actually build more housing. Let's get serious about this. We can do it, but again, people are just, they get in the way, and these are the consequences.
Chris, an interesting question from a KCBS listener, and I wonder how this plays into all this.
Yeah.
Are older adults also staying in their homes because their kids can't afford to move out?
Well, I mean, That's an interesting question. And I think that's probably true for some folks who have, say, 20-ish type kids who maybe, you know, are still trying to figure out their way in the world and want a place where they can hang out for a while they are figuring it out and saving for the future. That said, I think there's plenty of other parents who would move to a smaller place just to prevent their kids from moving back in with them. So you can go two ways with that, right?
As you analyze this stuff, what is the profile of a first-time home buyer in California these days? Is it older than it used to be? And how does all this play into seniors perhaps staying in their homes longer?
Well, yes, absolutely older, because obviously the costs have gone up. And, of course, a lot higher income, because there's so few units available. They really only go to the most well-heeled households, as the case may be. So, yeah, you see more and more that this idea that homeownership is becoming a hurdle, a higher hurdle for people to get over, as the case may be. But that said, it hasn't changed all that much. You know, one of the things that constantly frustrates me is a lot of particularly Gen Z and millennials have this idea that 20 or 30 years ago, it was easy to buy your first house. The answer was, it was never easy to buy your first house. It was always a stretch. And it's kind of a rite of passage that everybody has to go through. Today, I would argue there's a lot more parents with a lot more wealth who can help you make that jump. That certainly wasn't available when I was 25 or 26 thinking about buying my first place.
Oh, another good question here. Could ADUs, those accessory dwelling units, mother-in-law places, could that help solve this problem? I know San Jose recently.
It's too small. It's too little. Yeah. It's way too late. Look, we need millions of units. And ADUs are good for thousands of units. The order of magnitude is way off. We need rezoning. We need reduction in permit fees. We particularly need high-density housing, which means changes in regulatory status of various sorts of multifamily buildings. These are not going to be changed by a few backyard houses.
All right. We are out of time. I'm afraid we are going to see brake lights heading to Nevada and Texas and Arizona, places like that. Chris Thornburg.
We already have. Yeah.
You bet. Real estate industry analyst, founding partner of Beacon Economics. It's always great to talk with you. We appreciate the great information today.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.